Now, the history of Sydney Harbour, it's a big one. It's a very complex one. But how has pollution played a part over the last kind of couple of hundred years that we've been using the harbour?
So we have a fairly industrial legacy in Sydney Harbour, lots of different factories along the waterways. And we've done a lot of building to protect those factories along the waterways as well. Since the 1970s, though, we've regulated most of the pollution inputs from them. So we've managed to, in some way, sort of clean up what's going on in the harbour. And now one of the main ways that we do get pollution entering the waterway is through things like stormwater runoff. Those are point or diffuse sources, so they can come out of drains or they can just run straight off the land into Sydney Harbour. And it's the main way that we get things like heavy metals and other sorts of organic pollution in the harbour.
So how polluted is Sydney Harbour? Because I look at it sometimes and I'm like, would not swim in that. It looks a little funky, especially around Darling Harbour.
A lot of the time what we can see in the harbour is actually productivity. So it's different kinds of seaweed species that are photosynthesizing and are pretty active. And sometimes that means that the harbour is quite healthy.
Oh, good.
But if it's occurring after a big rainfall event, then potentially we can get some of the more toxic seaweeds and algae occurring.
So one of the things that's kind of occurred in Sydney Harbour, I would assume to boost that productivity, you were talking about the industrialisation of the harbour, is the building of vertical seawalls. What kind of an effect are they having, though, or have they had historically on the harbour?
So in Sydney Harbour, and actually in a lot of the cities around the world, about 50% of the foreshore is concreted with some kind of protective seawall structure, which, as you can imagine, replaces some of the natural habitats that we would normally have. So in Sydney, that would have been mangroves, that would have been salt marshes, and some of the really important rocky reefs. And all of those habitats support different kinds of marine life. And when you replace it with a structure that's vertical and fairly flat and featureless, it doesn't really support the same kind of diversity that we would see if it was a natural shoreline.
So what's being done, I guess, to counteract that and bring that ecology back into our harbour?
So we actually have a Living Seawalls project that's based at the Sydney Institute of Marine Sciences. And for the past a few decades, actually, Sydney Harbour researchers have been working towards trying to improve the habitat provided by these seawalls, firstly by adding habitat to the seawalls. And some of our most recent designs have gone out in places like Milsons Point, places like Sawmillers Reserve in North Sydney, where we've added tiles. And these tiles are 3D molded and printed out of an eco-friendly concrete. And we can create lots of the habitat features like rock pools, swim-throughs, like mangrove roots that we would normally see on a natural shoreline.
And are you seeing the ecosystems return then once those structures are in place?
These are actually really, really new. They've been out a couple of weeks.
Oh,
but
okay.
Certainly, straight away, we've seen seaweed starting to colonize.
Wow.
And we see fish take up residence, these really cute little territorial goby fish. They love to have a place they can hide from the bigger fish that would eat them otherwise. So you can imagine we put little rock pools out, we put swim-throughs. They've got little crevices that they can spend time in and get away from the larger fish.
A little personal space. Who doesn't like a little personal space? A place to kill their own. Now, every year or every couple of years, we seem to see a seal that pops up on the steps of the Opera House, or we see some dolphins frolicking in the harbour. But what actually is in our harbour in terms of marine life?
Sure. Well, we've actually got a really diverse fish community. So within Sydney Harbour, we have around 600 species, and that's more than the whole coastline of Great Britain. So that's quite a
wow.
diversity of fish. And then they're feeding on a range of barnacles and oysters and seaweeds that are growing on the seawalls, as well as some of the reef structures around. But we even have tiny microbial communities, bacteria that are, you know, the powerhouses, the nutrient cycling powerhouses of the ocean.
Absolutely. What about those bigger guys like sharks? I remember a couple of years ago a military diver got bitten by a shark, I think, in the harbour.
Yeah, certainly sharks are ever present. There's some evidence to show that at certain time of the year they do leave. These are the bull sharks that are resident in Sydney Harbour. But probably quite a few of the swimming spots inner harbour that people like to visit would have a bull shark hanging around at certain times of the year. But we don't have as many interactions with sharks as we do you know, people in the water. So the risk of shark interactions is still fairly low.
Mm, absolutely. I'm a big fan of sharks live there. Just leave them alone. Yeah. Get out of the water if you don't want to encounter one of them. They can't come on land. We can decide not to go in the water. Now, something that's always really made my mind tick over, especially this holiday period when we come into New Year's Eve and you see so many boats on the harbour and you see, you know, fireworks going off and the little sparks landing on the water. What sort of effect is that having on our harbour? I can't imagine it'll be a good one.
Yeah, so any increased human activity means there's going to be increased rubbish around. And certainly from a lot of the boats in Sydney Harbour, if people aren't conscious of what they're doing with their waste, at the end of the day, it can end up in the waterways. And that's not good for marine life. So if you have things like plastic bags falling off of boats, if you have things like plastic bottles, they can be ingested or they can just cause other problems for marine animals. And certainly when we have the fireworks display, there's quite a lot of rubbish that comes out of that too.
So, yeah.
And that lands straight in the water and can get washed around.
Gosh. So what would you say is the biggest threat to our harbour? I would assume, again, human activity. But what is it that's really hurting our harbour?
Probably one of the number one threats is things like stormwater pollution.
Okay.
Because it's just a cocktail of contaminants that is really difficult to regulate.
So how do we fix that? You said it's really hard to regulate. So how could we go about helping this?
I'm not sure if you've heard of water-sensitive urban design.
Have not.
It's WSUD.
What a great acronym.
the people who use it a lot. It's one of the ways on land we can start to reduce the runoff into the waterways. So it includes things like rainwater tanks. It includes people just being sensible about how much pesticide and fertilizer they put on their gardens. It includes people being sensible about clearing their gutters and trying to make sure all of that litter and organic matter doesn't get washed into the waterway, where it can stimulate blooms from some fairly noxious types of pathogens and seaweeds.
Which, of course, I think we were talking about this before, that's when they eat up all the oxygen in the water, and then all the fishies and the native species are really going to suffer then as well, aren't they?
That's it. We don't have real problems with low oxygen in Sydney Harbour. There's certainly a few pockets around where some of the major storm drains come out that oxygen is fairly depleted. But certainly other harbours in the world where they have big problems with excess organic matter coming in, then they have eutrophication, which, as you say, is the loss of oxygen from the water column and fish death from that.
No one would ever think of that, in my opinion. Like, if you're not conscious of oxygen levels in water, then it just doesn't seem like something you'd worry about. But it's something we really need to be conscious of, with organic matter going into our stormwater and into our waterways. Unfortunately, we have to leave it there. I could talk about this all morning. I'm so genuinely interested in all of this. Before I go, can you swim in Sydney Harbour? A lot of people do.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you're east of the bridge.
Okay.
Certainly west of the bridge, it's safe to swim in designated swimming areas, baths that are checked regularly for the water quality. I wouldn't be swimming after a big rainfall event.
No.
And I'd probably question it after the dust storm that we've had recently.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where would be the best place to see the beautiful biodiversity that we have in our harbour?
If you do like to swim on some of the outer harbour beaches, hang around near the swim nets. That's where they get a lot of seahorses. And there's some fantastic sponge and sea squirt life growing on those swim nets. So have a close look.
Oh,
next
wow.
Time.
Okay. One positive use of swim nets. There we go. A mild positive for swim nets. Catherine, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
If you want to find out more about the Seawalls Project and other harbour health, you can go to the Sydney Institute of Marine Science website. It's sims.org.au.